The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Revolution is sponsored by Ron's Electric Motors, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, J.S. Johnson, Marco's Pizza, Commonwealth Bank, Bahamas Bus and Truck, and Burger King.
Good afternoon, Bahamas, and welcome to the revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. If you would remember, yesterday I told you I would explain to you what I'm being told is going on with Abaco, and I got the information that I was looking for, and I planned to do that on Monday, but Monday we're going to have with us the illustrious Minister of Education and Member of Parliament for South Beach, Mr. Jeffrey Lloyd Esquire, on the show. He's coming here, talk about education, talk about politics, talk about FNM's tenure in governance, and to speak about all manner of things. So we're going to have Jeff Lloyd here on Monday. You can feel free to call in for that show, ask questions. I'll allow you to participate. Not a problem at all. So I expect it'll be a really good, fun time. All right. Now, since Jeff's coming Monday, we're going to go through the Abaco thing today. All right. Because, again, I want to understand what is happening on Abaco other than y'all breaking down the new construction on the shantytown. Because I'm quite unclear. I was quite unclear as to what's going on. Now, I do note we have other areas of concern, such as China and the U.S. are beefing over who should give us vaccines. But I see no vaccine come yet from China or the U.S. For all this rah-rah-rah, for all this back and forth, y'all do it. You can send us something, you know what I mean? Something. The Pfizer vibe, one of these, you know what I'm saying? Something. But Moderna, Johnson & AstraZeneca, something. I hear plenty talking. I don't see plenty vaccine coming from nowhere but India and South Korea, right? And also, we are noting that ICU hospitalizations due to COVID-19 are increasing. We have had over 500 new COVID cases in the Bahamas from May 1st to May 12th. And there's no sign of that slowing. That is indeed unfortunate, but I kind of explained that this was going to happen and we should take some measures, but I was told to shut up and carry on smartly, and so that's what I'm going to do. Unfortunately, there are many people who will get sick, and some of them won't die. But you guys say don't do anything, so I'm not going to do anything. Now, about Abaco, right? So I want to understand what has happened since Dorian. So Dorian hit. It was September 2019, all right? There was no plan in place to deal with a storm of that size. I think there should have been. Clearly, we've had hurricanes before, and we should have had a plan in place. We did not. In the aftermath of Hurricane Dorian, we created the Disaster Recovery Agency, And we also created the Ministry of Disaster Preparedness, Recovery, and Reconstruction. I might be getting that name in the wrong order. We often hear platitudes about Abaco and what's going on. We've had numerous missed targets from several agencies. You have the Minister of Works, like, flat out deny he ever even gave a timeline for BPL when he straight up did. I really don't know how he continues to get away with this stuff. So BPL still not finished doing the work. This is about 19 months later, just shy of 2 years. Water and Sewage still has not completed all of its work as far as the last report. And we would like a sense of what exactly has been happening. So the Disaster Reconstruction Agency is Managing Director's K. Forbes Smith, and the non-executive chairman is John Michael Clark. Now, we had John Michael Clark on the show before, and I really had to, like, coax him and plead with him to come on the show to speak about what was the plan moving forward for Abaco. And that was in the aftermath of Dorian, the first few months after Dorian. He has since doubled down on being radio shy. I interviewed him, but I don't have permission to air the interview. But he has no problem with being attributed with the information I'm going to share with you. So the Disaster Recovery Agency has a reconstruction strategy based around eight pillars for Abaco and Grand Bahama. We're going to concentrate more on Abaco because Abaco is what I was interested in. I didn't get all the information that I normally would have gotten with Grand Bahama, but I was interested in what's happening with Abaco. Pardon me. So the eight pillars of the reconstruction strategy for Abaco are economy, environment, education, housing, healthcare, infrastructure, systems strengthening, and fundraising. Repeat that for you one more time. Economy, environment, education, housing, healthcare, infrastructure, system strengthening, and fundraising. Now, in the direct aftermath of Dorian, the original focus was an environmental concern in that it was not a safe environment for people to be in. The shantytowns, the Mud and Pigeon Pea, were destroyed or were devastated, and then the government came in and demolished the rest of the structures and cleared them, all right? So the focus immediately was an environmental concern, and there still are environmental concerns. The next focus became housing, all right? Now, this all, my inquiry into this started when we're saying, okay, well, we pushed the shantytown down, right? So the farm or whatever. Where do the people go? Because that was my thing. Where? What do we do with the people, right? Since you tell me they're Bahamian, the vast majority of them, all right? So the next concern was housing, and housing is still a major concern on Abaco. You have houses that were uninhabitable. You have houses that were damaged to a certain extent where people could possibly live in them, but they didn't have electricity. They didn't have running water, per se. So in Abaco, the immediate focus of the Disaster Recovery Agency was the Small Home Repairs Program. And they had a focus on that in Abaco and on Grand Bahama. So far, as of April 21st, from September 2019 to April 21st, or to be fair, since the Disaster Recovery Agency was formed a couple months after Dorian, to April 21st of this year, there have been 3,735 homeowners who have applied for assistance through the Small Home Repair Program. The Small Home Repair Program, you can get up to $10,000 to fix up your home, all right? Of the 3,735 people who have applied, 1,270 of those people have had their applications satisfied and have had their monies disbursed. In Grand Bahama, that represents 813 homes for a total of $4.72 million that has been paid out so far. On Abaco, this, no, inside of that 1270, 457 homes have had their request fulfilled and work completed so far, according to the Disaster Recovery Agency. Now, that number would represent $3 million being paid out to date. For the rest of these people, we have 1,380 homeowners who have partially restored their homes. Of that number, 953 of them are on Grand Bahama, and they have so far been paid a total of $3.1 million. Of the 1,380 whose homeowners who still haven't finished their home repair on their homes, 427 are on Abaco, and that represents a cost of $1.4 million paid out so far. For the upcoming fiscal year, which begins July 1, the Disaster Recovery Agency is trying to help an additional 1,085 homeowners, all right? Of those 1,085 homeowners, 743 are going to be on Grand Bahama, and that represents a cost of $3.7 million, and 342 are going to be on Abaco at a cost of $2.1 million. All right? That funding has been requested of the government, but has not yet been confirmed to have been secured. All right? So they want an additional $5.8 million to help an additional 1,085 homeowners on Abaco. So far, over 200 contractors have been engaged in this work. Now, I asked what has accounted for the slow pace of the disbursement as well as the construction, but I could not get a very clear indication. All right? So it is what it is, right? All right, so, and I don't want to hear about COVID-19, okay? Because the emergency order, if I start talking about emergency orders, I'm going to get frustrated here today, but the emergency orders had been amended to allow for construction on Abaco and Grand Bahama for Dorian recovery. All right? Now, we don't know that the government will approve an additional $5.8 million in funding for these 1,085 homeowners in the next budget, but hopefully they'll get their money. So while people were repairing their homes, the government had decided to erect domes. You know, the white domes look like igloos, right? We understand that the total project cost was $6 million for the purchase and erecting of domes. It was about 250 domes. However, we know that the domes were never all erected. On Abaco, we know that 54 domes have so far been completed outside of the Spring City dome area. 54. Okay. We are told that 38 more are under construction. We are told that there are 67 domes they are looking to start constructing on Abaco, and 40 they're looking to start constructing on Grand Bahama. These domes are, of course, temporary shelters. They're not meant for you to live in forever. They're just meant to be there while you fix up your property. In Spring City, there are reportedly 32 domes that are being housed, that are erected in that Spring City area. Remember, they're on the little the planks, yes? And we are unclear how many people actually are living in Spring City, John Michael Clark was unclear how many people are actually living in Spring City or living in the other domes. The domes outside of Spring City are on people's property. Now, the domes don't belong to the people living in them. The domes belong to NEMA, the government of the Bahamas, right? The plan is that when people complete construction on their houses, they'll give the domes back. The domes go back into NEMA's inventory, and if hurricanes hit other places, then they could put the domes up somewhere else. Now, asked why construction seemed to linger so long on the domes, there was also the issue, they say, of manpower. All right. Now, the government and the Disaster Recovery Agency understands that the domes are just for emergency housing. What the Disaster Reconstruction Agency is looking at doing, I am told, is identifying at least one 60-acre tract of land where they can have some permanent housing solutions, possibly through a public-private partnership, okay, to have people to build actual homes that people could go purchase. Now, you would recall that the government also set up an area that was an RV park for government employees, and most of the government employees would have been government employees in Abaco. They've been living in these trailers now for quite some time. What they found is that the people living in the trailers the vast majority of them, government employees, were renting on Abaco. Okay? Abaco has an acute rental property shortage. All right? Acute. And so the government of the Bahamas has decided to try to meet that need through a public-private partnership. So as recently as earlier this year, different agency heads of government had meetings to determine the rental needs on Abaco. All right. Why wasn't that done before? I don't know. All right. What is currently being discussed, and I understand this is definitely in the pipeline, is that they have identified an area outside of Spring City where they are almost certain, I'm told it's in the final stages, to construct a 100-unit rental facility. All right? This is being financed through the Bahamas Development Bank. The cost is estimated to be between $15 to $20 million. I understand that they're going to be looking at a modular home model for this 100-unit rental complex outside of Spring City. They believe that it's a very viable project that they can make happen within the next fiscal year. All right? So the next fiscal year starts July 1, ends June 30th, 2022. Or if you go by Kwesi Smith's calendar, June 31st, 2022. All right? The issue with this is that you need labor to do this. All right. Now, currently, there are at least three major construction projects going on in Abaco and private developments. And they've set up labor camps, etc. I know that sounds seedy, but they're perfectly fine. The one with Baker's Bay, they got a ton of Mexican guys out there. All right. So it's doable to get labor there. But you're going to have a great deal of need for labor, particularly if you're going to build that in a year. All right? They want to get it started within the next fiscal year, at least, let me say. All right? You're going to need a great deal of labor in order to get that going. All right? Now, we have some other issues going on with Abaco, which is the fact that there was a ton. I'm sorry, do I mean? Okay, yeah, that's fine. So we got some other issues going on with Abaco, which is the fact that when Dorian hit and it swept away homes, etc., cars, appliances, everything, right? What you were left with was a huge amount of debris. The government has spent to date over $15 million on collecting and clearing debris. Much of it from the Mud Pigeon Pea Sandbank, but also all over Marsh Harbor, etc., Spring City, Treasure Key, right? Here's the issue. Currently on Abaco, they have over 3 million cubic yards of debris. Okay? Say that for you one more time. They got over 3 million cubic yards of debris in Abaco at Spring City and Treasure Key. All right? They also have some stuff going on at Green Turtle Key, which is much, 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 much smaller. Now, the government has yet to figure out how they're going to sort and reduce this debris. It remains one of the biggest challenges in dealing with Abaco. The Disaster Reconstruction Agency has sourced numerous bids for debris management. The issue is that they're all incredibly expensive. So let me explain it to you in these terms. So like I said, there's something going on at Green Turtle Key. So Green Turtle Key is maybe 6-7 times smaller than, say, the thing at Spring City, right? Something like that. The management for debris at Green Turtle Key is currently running $100,000 a month, right? So multiply that number by 5, 6, 7, and then double it, right? So because they got Spring City and Treasure Key. And think of how much money that is that it's going to take for them to sort and figure out all that debris. All right? The problem is the Disaster Recovery Agency Reconstruction. I keep transposing it. The Disaster Reconstruction Agency doesn't have the money. All right? I've already told you what they spent on the small home repair program, right? They don't have the money. What they're looking at doing is they're looking at buying equipment to start this process themselves without having to contract it out until they find an easier solution. All right? So that's what's going on with the debris. The debris remains. All right? Now, let's talk about Green Turtle Key for a second. In Green Turtle Key, as I said, the government has signed a contract for debris site management. That's something like $100,000 a month. All right? So the problem with the Green Turtle Key site is people just used to dump everything there, right? Trash, old stuff, whatever. And it wasn't managed properly. So what they're doing now is they're trying to figure out a plan, a lot of figuring out, I know, to fix the legacy issues that have existed there. And the long-term solution is to make the Green Turtle Key debris site a transfer station with regular barging off of Green Turtle Key. All right, so that's in the works, and that's what they claim they're doing. Timeline on that? Not clear. Okay. One of the major other projects that the... Actually, I'll do this on the... I got a bit more to go through. So let's take a break, and then I'm going to tell you what's going on with the... shelter project, okay? All right.
Rock Electric Motors. Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and generators back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0249.
Hello, sir. Your credit card bill is due. Hello, sir. It's time for your monthly loan payment. Tired of creditors pounding at your door? Sign up for a debt consolidation loan from Fidelity Bank and consolidate your debt into one low monthly payment. What's more, you'll also earn interest on a built-in savings account. The pandemic has curbed many freedoms, but at Fidelity, our focus is to help regain your financial freedom. Visit a branch or speak to Fidelity Bank at 356-7764. COVID safety measures in place at all branches. Fidelity, we're good for you.
In life, there are always challenges. Today, we find ourselves having to be more self-sufficient, socially aware, and technically savvy. At J.S. Johnson, we are committed to our customers by providing cost-effective insurance solutions. No matter what your insurance needs, we will always be here for you. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com. J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, giving you peace of mind.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Everyone should experience a brand new car, but not everyone can afford one. Until now, Bahamas Bus and Truck has the answer. The stylish, spacious, feature-rich, yet affordable Mitsubishi Attrage. Priced at $21,900, including a three-year warranty, why not come and experience the value that Mitsubishi has built into the Attrage today? Bahamas Bus and Truck, the country's only authorized Mitsubishi dealer. Telephone 322-1722.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution. We're trying to explain what the disaster reconstruction agency says is going on with Abaco. Actually, someone had asked a question, and I want to clarify. They asked, are the domes free? Firstly, I don't like this term we throw around with free, all right? You know, the air we breathe is free. But anything you're getting from government, it don't be free, right? Somebody got to pay for it. So, you know, I do it myself sometimes and not properly explain it. So, no. It free in terms of, do the people who are living in the domes have to pay for them? Yes and no. So if you have been living in the dome for fewer than 16 months, you have not been paying anything to the DRA. Beyond month 16, the domes are leased at a rate of $100 per month. Okay? Don't know why? Couldn't tell you. All right. And it ain't your dome, right? You can't go build a piece onto it or cut out another window or nothing like that. It's not yours. So they don't pay up to and including month 16. Beyond month 16, it's $100 a month. All right. Let me explain to you the hurricane shelter project before we got to go to the news. Now, they're building. Let me clarify. They intend to build. All right. In Central Pines, a 10,000 square foot hurricane shelter. All right. This is supposed to be a state of the art hurricane shelter that's going to be able to withstand Category 5 winds or whatever. So that is going to go up in Central Pines. Now, the site in Central Pines has already been prepared. I was told it took this long because there were significant issues with sinkholes around the property, etc., and they had to bring everything up to speed. The plans, the drawings for the project are 100% complete. They have, though, only recently been sent to town planning. The site has now been turned over to the design and build contractor, which would be Premier Importers and Bio Build Bahamas. All right. That's who it was designed by, Construction Value Engineering and AB Architects. I have no idea who any of these people are besides Premier Importers, but I'm sure they're good at what they do. All right, so the shelter's going to cost, well, let me put it this way. They have about $2 million to build this shelter. All right? So it's going to serve as a hurricane shelter, but it's not going to stay shut until the hurricane comes and people need to go there. It's also going to be a multi-purpose cultural center. People can... they have administrative offices there that you can use as a command center if there's a hurricane, but there's also going to be an administration area to the building can be used for community functions, conferences, weddings, this sort of stuff. They're putting nice playgrounds at the state, at the site, gazebos, a basketball court, all right, some picnic tables, and it'll be a botanical garden. It's all going to be very nice, I'm told. All right, so they have raised close to $2 million. I say raised close to $2 million. So the government, our government, is not expected to pay for this. They have gotten $1 million from the government of India. Same Indians you had a problem with the other day. Being on the tarmac or whatever it was. All right. $1 million from the government of India, and they've also gotten some money from Idea Relief, I think it was, the Bahamas Hope Foundation, Soul Relief, Ernst & Young, First Caribbean, donated windows. So, and some other people have done some stuff as well. All right. So the drawings are done. It's been sent to town planning. And I am told that there should be significant progress at the site, even in terms of the superstructure, by October. Now, here's the issue. Due to the pent-up construction demand caused by the COVID-19 pandemic, normal building materials have gone up in price dramatically. All right? Doors, basic building materials, right? Some prices have gone up as much as 50% during the pandemic. And so they might not have enough money to complete this hurricane shelter. What I'm told is that they're cautiously optimistic that they will have enough money to complete the hurricane shelter. All right? So the shelter ultimately should be able to accommodate up to 800 people. All right? It also can serve as a food distribution center, and it also has storage to maintain operations. It will also have storage, I am told, to maintain operations during a disaster for at least 5 days in the event that the water supply is interrupted on Abaco. All right, so that's where we are with the hurricane shelter. Before I get to anything else, let me try to satisfy some of your questions that you have texted. It says, Juan, expand on this for me, because I've heard you say it multiple times, and a young man always calls in and harps on it. I promise you he'll call soon. The government survey conducted in the shantytowns where the findings were the majority of the residents are Bahamians. My question to you, do you or anyone else think that the persons that were illegal took part in this survey? And if not, why keep using something, in my opinion? That, in my opinion, is a worthless survey. When the survey came out, I had deep, serious questions about it, about the methodology, about the accuracy of it, all right? But this is your government. This is your document that the government says to me represents facts. All right? And so your facts to me are that 80% of them are either Bahamian or have some claim to Bahamian status or some legal status in the Bahamas. Those are your facts to me. So I'm only going off what you told me, because I didn't go into the shantytown and check everybody's papers. All right, so that's all I got. So we could just go with that, because I didn't do it. All right, so you say you did it, and so I go with what you tell me you got. And that's what you told me. But I went through it meticulously when it came out and explained that I had reservations about how it was conducted. All right? It says, Juan, can you ask all those persons who keep saying the government should have taken the new builders to court, as opposed to what they're doing, then explain why customs won't let you hold on to and drive your vehicle if they discover that no duty was paid, or the DEA let you hold on to the suspected drugs until a lab test to confirm it's an illicit, only asking. No, okay. Well, that's rhetorical. Of course, I'm not going to explain that. This says, Juan, they don't know what height the water came during the hurricane. I hope they plan to build these new structures above the water level expected to come. I would imagine so. This is a great show. As usual, Juan, the debris could be used for fill. This says, Juan, I understand the folks in Abaco still don't have potable water since Dorian. There are several areas that they still don't have potable water. I was unable yesterday to get an update from BPL or Water and Sewage of the latest information. And John Michael Clark said he personally could not speak to it. All right. This says, we got time for a call. Let's go one call. If it's a quick call, we'll do it. All right. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello. Good afternoon.
How you doing, bro?
I'm fine. How's it going?
Hey, Juan. How you doing, bro?
I'm great.
Okay. Can I weigh in now, or should I catch on the next time?
I mean, if you have a very short contribution, you could weigh in now, or you could call back if it's not short. I guess it was not intended to be a short contribution. So on the next side, then, we'll. We'll speak with Anton, and you can, too, call in. I have a few more things to tell you, but you, too, can weigh in. Don't say I ain't told you, all right? Now, let's take a break for news, and we'll be back on the other side.
Hey, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Well, he fool with Joe girl.
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means you got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody calling me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them, and you can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you said.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Did you know that $5 can get you delicious combos fit for a king? Well, it can, but only at Burger King Nassau. Not only is the big in-flavor flame-grilled Whopper Junior combo you love available for just $5, but now you can enjoy a crispy chicken junior sandwich topped with bacon plus fries and a drink for only $5 as well. At Burger King Nassau, you get to choose between a chicken BLT or flame-grilled beef in two great combos that include fries and a drink for only $5, including that. Value has a new home at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Preparing for a hurricane can make all the difference in safeguarding the lives of family, friends, and neighbors. By knowing what action you should take, you can reduce the effects of a hurricane disaster. Get all the facts of the potential of having insurance, impact-resistant windows, home emergency power, essential supplies, and a lot more before the storm. After the storm, where to purchase building or cleaning supplies, waste disposal, medical care, and more. The Nassau Guardians Hurricane Guide will help you make sure everyone knows what to do in the event a hurricane approaches. Take advantage of this double insertion opportunity plus 15 commercials on Star 106 hits. Contact us today at 302-2300. That's 302-2300 or your account executive. Will you be prepared?
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We're talking about the Disaster Reconstruction Authority's deal on Abaco. We got a bit of Grand Bahama, but I mainly wanted to focus on Abaco because I want to know what's going on. So let me tell you about schools on Abaco, all right? And you can call me. It's all good. For 323-6232, 323-6232. 325-4316 and 325-4259. The text line is 422-4796. Now here's what they say. They say I ain't been there to check. And here's what they say is happening on Abaco. So 14 public schools were damaged on Abaco. And the primary school at Treasure Key was destroyed, all right? So far, 7 schools have been repaired, and 7 are still being repaired, all right? Now, Patrick J. Bethel, that's complete, and I can go through the schools for you. Amy Roberts Primary. That's being repaired. Central Abaco Primary, which would have been the largest primary school. That's done, so I'm told. Cherokee Sound Primary, being repaired. Cooperstown Primary has been repaired. Crossing Rock Primary has been repaired. Great Guana Primary has been repaired. Hopetown Primary School is being repaired. Manowar Primary School is repaired. Moores Island All-Age School, that's repaired. Like I said, Patrick J. Bethel High School, that's the biggest high school. They're still fixing that one. Sherlyn Boodle, they're repairing that. Treasure Key Primary, that was destroyed and has yet to be rebuilt. They have not yet gotten to Foxtown Primary School or J.A. Pinder Primary School on Abaco. Now, okay, we'll take the call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, good afternoon, Juan. How you doing, bro?
I'm great. How's it going?
Okay. And I'm trying to figure out what's going on Abaco, especially with this detailed information you're providing for us.
I just explained to you what's going on.
When the Prime Minister, and thank you very much for the research, by the way. Mm-hmm. It's very helpful.
Thank you.
And I'm very informative. As a matter of fact, you seem to be doing more than what the governor of Bahamas is doing. They don't seem to know how to be transparent nor accountable to the Bahamian people. But one, look, there was the accusation that this is just another level or layer of bureaucracy, the creation of this disaster reconstruction development agency, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you have other government agencies that are charged with overseeing such such situations as disasters, namely NEMA, you have an urban renewal arm of the government that's also been very effective in reconstruction and renovation of homes, et cetera, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's also been very effective in terms of public-private partnerships with the former co-chairs, Mr. Allen and former Deputy Prime Minister Mother Pratt, right?
Yes.
And they've raised a tremendous amount of money over the years to accomplish the assistance, social assistance they provided. But here it is, it seems as though based on the, just looking at all the information that you provided, that they didn't have a budget, a proper budget, that they didn't take into account what would be required in order to accomplish their objective, that they didn't take into account nor report to the Bahamian people, or in particular the people who were directly impacted on Abaco and Grand Bahama, the time frame that they would require in order to accomplish bringing some level of normalcy to persons' lives. I'm wondering, one, you spoke about 54 domes on Abaco. How many domes were there supposed to be in total constructed?
They bought 250.
Oh, my goodness, so, one.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, my goodness.
Maybe the dome.
Just over 20% of domes after over 1 year of Dorian. And so how do they expect for persons to resume their lives on the island that they consider home? Is this another ragged island type scenario happening in our country? One, this is representative of absolute failure. And it's not on behalf of Mr. Clark, who's only the technical person providing them with information. This is purely on behalf of the policymakers who has the authority and the responsibility to provide that level of assistance that is necessary for the people or the professionals in that agency to be effective in executing their duties. This is like a waste of time and a waste of resources. On top of that, Juan, I hear you talking about informing us about a superstructure, a hurricane shelter that's going to serve as a multipurpose building, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you express the cost for that is around $2 million, right?
That
is being
hope.
Self-funded. Yeah. And I'm wondering, Juan, well, what in the world is this government doing spending $9 to $10 million for renovations of the government house? Where's our money going, Juan? What is happening in this country? I mean, this doesn't make any sense. And the more information that you provide to us, the more we realize, and now I'm beginning to, well, I'm not beginning one. Let me not be facetious and say that. I realize why this government do not like to be transparent nor accountable with the Bahamian people, because they would recognize that we will also see that they're doing nonsense with our money at a time when we could least afford it. One, you spoke about the debris piling up on Abaco, right?
Uh-huh.
Costing the taxpayers $100,000 per month, right? Where is the end cycle for that level of debris? That's the smaller percentage, as you explained, of the debris on Treasure Key. When are they going to get to the debris on? I mean, where and what is going on? Didn't they know before they even formed this agency or in the formation of this agency that it's going to cost a certain amount of money to deal with the management of the debris and the removal of the debris? And this is the type of expertise that they're going to require. They're just crapping around after over 1 year, Warren, trying to remove. What is going on in this country? Warren, this is not what effective. This is not what transparent, this is not what competent governance is all about. We need change, Juan. The people of Abaco need water. They need telephone services on Abaco. They need proper housing on Abaco. When is this going to happen, Juan? When is this going to happen? And in order to accommodate any level of construction to the degree that they require, you're going to require a whole lot of human resources, not only on the construction side, but also on the government and oversight side to ensure that the process is carried out effectively and to standard. What is happening, Juan, from what you were explaining to me and my understanding of operations and management and oversight, et cetera, this seems to be a never-ending story that will take between 5 to 10 years to see some level of normalcy based on how this government is operating. And that's only on Abaco. We haven't even gone to Grand Bahama yet. We haven't even talked about the rest of the islands of the Bahamas. Anyway, Juan, you know what? Thank you for the opportunity, bro. Okay. Continue to do the great work and the great research that you are doing and provide us with the information so that we can understand what's really happening in our country. Thank you, Juan. God bless you.
All right. Thanks, buddy. That certainly was not a short contribution. That much is clear. But okay, so we talked about the schools. Let me tell you the last update. I have had on electricity. Oh, let's go to full call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey, Juan. What's up?
Hey, right here.
I'm doing too good. I just was having my lunch, and my lunch just got spoiled. Honestly, Jesus, my lunch just got spoiled. All right. Let me ask y'all something. Juan.
Yeah, I'm here. Go ahead.
Let me ask you something. Whenever I call and I make a lot of misinformation, you as a talk show host should have some idea to straighten me out. And if I say the wrong thing, then you tell me. You engage me.
I mean, he was giving opinions.
You can't afford to let Antoine run on with all this foolishness every day. Every day. I tell you, I was eating lunch just now. And I say, oh, God, no. I see Dwight had to put something on him the other day. LeVon had to stop him because he just run on. If Antoine won't be a candidate, he should book a show, come on your show, pay for the advertising, and he could say whatever he want to say. And guess what? Nobody can say nothing. But y'all need to put this boy in his place. Yeah?
Okay.
I want to say some other things, but I got to let that run.
No.
Don't upset
that.
My lunch. Don't let him upset my lunch.
Finish your lunch. Sorry about that.
Yeah, man. Engage him. That's what I want to see. I want to see you engage him.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
Don't let him run on with foolishness, because I can play back that stuff where you was telling them where you don't want to see the backs of them no more.
Right.
You know?
No problem.
And if I had somebody, I'd give you $10 million so you could do that again to them.
Please.
Okay?
All right.
Let me ask you one more thing.
Sure.
Bobby Wiscombe was the candidate or whatever for Vassar and Grand Bahama.
Mm-hmm.
What did Obi do down there for him to want to go again?
I couldn't even tell you. I question why those people in West End are so impressed with him, really. But
Matt, let me tell you something. Bahamians, fool. Because PLP and FNM should be go back in the house. We need to have some other crew who going to look out for our situation. I wish you could have run, honestly.
Well, that ain't going to happen, but enjoy your lunch. I'll say this. Anton was giving his opinion on a lot of things. But I will say that to blame John Michael Clark would be unfair. He is a non-executive chairman of the Disaster Reconstruction Authority. So he's not in a paid position where he's doing the day-to-day operations of it. right, all right. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
What's going on, McGartney? How you doing, man?
I'm great. How's it going?
Wonderful, wonderful, sir. I just wanna let my friend and brother, my fellow Bahamian, Mr. Antoine, just to cool down a little bit, you know, because you know, I know he's looking forward for a progressive administration in Parliament Square in 2022.
Uh-huh.
But you've got to be around for that. You have to slow down because yes, we understand you're excited. The enthusiasm, and we're all looking forward to the ceremony. But we want you to be there in the ceremony. You get out with this new rig, you're going, man, look, you're going to burn yourself out. Okay? You know, you got to be around. You know, but what I really call for is the governor raised millions of dollars for that island.
Did they?
I'm asking you.
You got to show me where that is. I remember the Ahab Badera 1.5 and pledges. I pledged me and money in the bank.
You mean they allow themselves to be swing too? Or they think that we think they get swing?
My brother, I could read for you the unaudited financial statements of the Disaster Reconstruction Authority and show you where they didn't get no millions of dollars in donations.
So the mere fact of the establishment of that ministry costs more than what they're talking about there.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, I don't have a problem with them establishing an agency, but it's just got to work with sense. You know what I'm saying? So
I understand. You know, and you see, this administration, I'd have them to know that they ain't dealing with no D-grade average people.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, yes, they expect for the grades in school to be that. But to be as street people over here, I accept it. I need more production from them, man. Thanks for letting me share.
No problem, my brother. I'm going to tell you this. Let me just tell you what I know about electricity so far. So BPL hasn't given an update on Abaco in months, right? Now would be a good time, all right? So what I know from BPL is that as of last summer, BPL has still not finished restoring Marsh Harbor, Red Bay, Wilson City, Dickey's Key, Sandy Key, Scotland Key, Elbow Key, Guana Key, Manowar Key, Lubbers Key, Tulu Key, Garden Key, Matt Lowe's Key, and Pelican Key. Matt Lowe got a key? Like the whole name? He put his whole name on it? Matt Lowe? So you don't get it confused? Matt Lowe's Key. This is Matt Lowe's Key. Can just be Low Key or Lowe's Key. Anyway, good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Hey, talking about the thing with Antoine.
Mm-hmm.
People know that they're doing right things, and with Antoine coming on with, they know they're doing something right. They don't even have to worry about Antoine. They're blocking him out. But then Antoine hitting them so hard. I didn't say all might be the truth, but most of it is true. Antoine is talking some sense. I mean, I'm a BLP, and sometimes he's getting me a little bit too. But if you're doing something right, you wouldn't have to worry about what Antoine say and Doc Oliver Obi. They forget that the resort was in Germany. Obi is the one who really set that up, who was instrumental in that knee up a lot of people in Grand Bahama get jobs when they were down in Grand Bahama. And guess what? A lot of them was FNM, and I live in Germany, and I used to hear them talking about that Obi while, and Obi was instrumental in getting them jobs here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he personally talked to people at the resort world to help people get jobs. You know what I mean?
Well, maybe that's what it is. Yeah, maybe.
You see, some people, yes, I wouldn't say they're ungrateful. I would never say that because you don't have to work for them because he give you a job there or help you get a job there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But a lot of people in this farm are saying he never do nothing for this part and what he did. But they didn't realize. They see a whole structure, the government complex that was started from when the PLP is in power. It isn't finished yet. Election time coming again. You had fired. The building was almost finished before election. The only thing they say need is bandages. It isn't finished yet. It reminds me of that clinic that was in South Andres.
Right.
After they take so long to open this, people get stuck there in politics with government. They come in and need some things. Go on, finish doing it. Even if they don't get the reward for it, just do it. You know what I mean? So thank you for the call.
No problem. All right. Take care. All right. So they ask, someone's asking me how many domes have been constructed. So there are finished construction. There would be 86. All right. There are 38 under construction. They want to start another 104 at some point. Also, you know, I don't want to make the entire show about Anton. I told him he could call and make his contribution. It can get exhausting at times, but he sometimes makes very thoughtful, valuable contributions, even if they're not entirely based in fairness and balance. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Kermit. No? All right. Ah, you guys kill me. All right, I got some more information to get through here. So, okay, all right. Now, let's talk the plans for the ports, all right? So the airport is still functional, and it's being rehabilitated is the word that they use. Mold remediation, because they had damage in that. But it's still functional, all right? And it's not like Grand Bahama Airport, which got, you know, like knocked out. So the airport is still functional. They're doing some upgrades to that and rehabilitation to that. Nothing major on the table now, but there are plans, I understand, in the medium term to expand, all right? And they're doing some stuff at, I believe they're doing some stuff at Treasure Key. All right. Now, the more important port that needs to be addressed is the Marsh Harbor port. So currently, there's not in place a plan for the Marsh Harbor port, but they are putting a plan together for the Marsh Harbor port. As it exists now, there is a committee that is going to put short-term solutions at the port, all right? Temporary facilities, short-term solutions to make the port still viable, all right? Now, in terms of the temporary solutions, they're only supposed to be in place up until sometime 2022. What the DRA says it wants is community and port stakeholders to give them input for what a long-term solution for the Marsh Harbor port would look like. All right? Now, as it stands, there's an extensive marine cleanup going on that does include the port area, and there's about $3 million allocated for that. All right? Now you're going to ask me, what about the Mud Pigeon Pea Sandbanks? So Mud Pigeon Pea Sandbanks was devastated by Dorian. The government declared it a no-build zone. Fenced the wipe off, right? And then cleared out everything, right? The Mud Pigeon Pea Sandbank remains a no-build zone, all right? That government policy remains in place. There is no building to take place there, and that is for the foreseeable future, all right? So forget about Mud Pigeon Pea and Sandbank for now. It is vacant, and nobody's going back if the government has its way. All right. The DRA also has an extensive solar lighting project that they want to undertake. All right? So, on Grand Bahama, they're going to install solar lights in McLeanstown, Pelican Point, High Rock, and along the Grand Bahama Highway. All right? They're going to erect 150 poles in that effort. Now, what they want to do is between Grand Bahama and Abaco, put up to 600 solar lights. So the sun powers the light during the sun powers the light during the day, and then at night, the battery XYZ. All right, the sun gives it energy, and at night it comes on. All right, so 600 of them between Abaco and Grand Bahama. There's also BPL is looking at sourcing solar solutions for some of the smaller areas of Abaco. That has yet to be underway. The hurricane badly damaged subsea cables as well. And there was an effort by Carolec to help. And I think that a company out of North Carolina wanted to help. I believe they were refused. I would double check that, but that's the last I remember hearing. And so BPL still has its work cut out for it. All right. Now, when we talk about the Disaster Recovery Agency and we're looking at government funds and we're clear on where we are with the pandemic, with the hit to the budget, et cetera, what you want is an agency that's going to come up with sustainable solutions to address these challenges. All right? So the DRA spent about $24 million. So they claim in the last fiscal year, but from my reading of it, it looks like $24 million since it was created, which would include, which was, I believe, January 2020, something like that. Yeah. And they're asking the government for whatever they can do between $25 to $30 million this fiscal year. All right? We don't want to have to continue to fund this reconstruction effort strictly through taxpayer dollars, because there were several billion dollars in damage done. And rebuilding it, we can't do it all on the government dime. All right? So what you want to have is you want to have the DRA managing projects with private and quasi-government partners that make sense from an investment standpoint and from the standpoint of the goals of the partners, all right? You also want them partnering with NGOs, foundations, etc. So remember what I told you about the eight pillars of the DRA strategy. So economy, environment, education, housing, healthcare, infrastructure, system strengthening, fundraising. All right? So the DRA's strategy is to match each of those areas with partners whose specific interests deal in that. So for instance, I'm not going to go to an environmental foundation and go, well, hey, man, we need a school here. You know what I'm saying? What I'm going to do is I'm going to go to an environmental foundation and go, well, we've identified these environmental needs in Abaco due to the hurricane, et cetera. We'd like to partner with you in whatever whatever form that would look like. If it looks like an ecology park, if it looks like a habitat, whatever form that would look like that would suit your interests, we'd like to partner with you with that. You provide the funding, et cetera. All right. As far as the economics of it, you want to partner with investors who are looking to make money. All right. In the rebuilding of Abaco. All right. They see money to be made on the other side of the rebuilding. So instead of me going and building businesses and building homes, you find people who are willing to do developments, etc. Housing, same thing. Right. Education, same thing. Healthcare, same thing. Look, we are interested in doing another mini hospital in Abaco. Luckily, the medical center wasn't destroyed. It was badly damaged due to humans, but it wasn't destroyed in the hurricane. We're looking to partner to do another mini hospital, okay? Or we're looking to have a health complex and doctor's offices so that when the population comes back, et cetera. Okay, infrastructural development. Look, we're looking to partner with people who are interested in building roads, okay, bridges, things of this nature, whatever form that would take. And so you match up the people whose interests align with these particular areas in order to lessen the burden on government. All right? The fact is that if you're a Bahamian, you can't claim to only care about certain parts of the Bahamas. You gotta like the entire Bahamas as a national concept. And so, insofar as Abaco is about Abaconians, Abaco is also about all Bahamians. Right? Remember we were talking about Oban? We were like, oh yeah, we'll ask the people in East Grand Bahama if they want Oban. No. That's fine, you can weigh in, but this impacts the entire Bahamas. Grand Bahama still in the Bahamas. So Bahamians do get to weigh in when it's in the national interest. All right? If it's just y'all fish fry or whatnot, then do your thing. But when it's in a national interest, it becomes the interest of all Bahamians. And Abaco, the rebuilding of it is in the interest of all Bahamians. And so, as John Michael Clark says, reconstruction on Abaco and Grand Bahama is on the shoulders, comes down to the work of every Bahamian. All right? I'm happy to take your calls. 323-6232, 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
What's up, my brother?
Hey, what's happening?
All right, all is well.
Good.
I thought you would have had Miss Kay Forbes-Smith. I thought they would have had someone.
No, she referred me back to John Michael Clark, and so that's where we got the information.
Another way of saying passing the buck. But hey, what are you talking about? Right, it's very, very interesting, because the reason I ask that is that as much as you explain it to the wider community, the people still ain't feeling nothing from, not feeling the when I say effect of it trickling down to them, and as far as them building back their places, because you have people, persons in Abaco in particular, that persons that I communicate with, they don't want no igloo, you know. All they want to do is the government to help them to build back their residence. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they want, you know, Mr. McCartney. They asking for a whole community. They only want, you know, assistance from the government to help them build back their residence. That's all. A lot of people I talk to, because they realize that they can't put all the responsibility on the government, but at least give the people them a start, you know, so they could be able to defend for themselves and for their families. That's the most majority of people want. And I don't expect that we're going to have a miracle created in this country as far as I'm helping those people in Grand Bahama and Abaco, no time soon. Sorry to say it like that, but folks, that's the only way I could say it, is the way I see it. But people need help, one, and I thank, you know, I thank God for people like you who don't hold back punches. If I wrong, you tell me I wrong. I just want you to continue on to speak on behalf of the poor people. That's all. Whether it is PLP, FNM, DNA, or whatever it is, you're still humans, and we are still Bahamians. Thank you, Mr. McCartney, and have a good weekend.
All right, you too, buddy.
Brother.
Have a good weekend. All right, so this isn't going to be a quick process, and nobody expected it to be. I kept hearing this thing. I sometimes want to just scream when I hear people repeat these senseless cliches over and over. There's no playbook. People, well, y'all expect recovery overnight? Of course not. Of course not. All right? No one in their right mind expects all the debris, 3 million cubic yards of debris, to be cleared overnight. No one in their right mind expects BPL to restore electricity overnight. All right? But we would like strategic plans and timelines as to what is going to be done, and to get frequent updates on what has actually borne fruit in this process. In my mind, in my opinion, my assessment, this has been a slower than needed process, an arduous process. And I think that the government has gotten in the way of a lot of progress that could have been made due to the fact that, yes, you have a responsibility as a government to make sure things are done in order and according to regulations, but due in no small part they've gotten in the way because of a need to look like they're taking credit for all things that are happening, when this shouldn't be about who gets credit and what a good government this is and, oh, what brave, what a... It should be about, solely about, the interests of those on Abaco and Grand Bahama who were impacted. All right? We got to take a break, and I'll be happy to deal with your texts, et cetera, when we get back.
At Bahamas Bus and Truck Company Limited, we provide vehicles known for quality and durability. From the iconic Jeep Wrangler to the award-winning Grand Cherokee, we've got your everyday driver covered. For larger tasks, our Ram 1500, Mitsubishi Fuso Canter Trucks, CMC Verica Vans, and Fuso Rosa Jitneys do way more than just deliver. We even carry a wide variety of pre-owned vehicles. To keep you going, our parts, service department, and body shop can accommodate our brands and others. Call us today at 322-1722 or email info@bahamasbus.com.
Calling all Primo fans! Marco's Pizza's got a new special. That's right, the trio deal was made just for you. Enjoy one large, one topping pizza, cheesy bread, and a 2-liter soda for just $20. At Marco's Pizza, we're all about quality. That's why we make our dough fresh every day. Our specials are hot, delicious, and affordable. Three items, just $20. Order your trio deal today on our website, MarcosPizzaBahamas.com. Marcos, every store, every day, the Italian way. Hello, Primo.
Did you know that $5 can get you delicious combos fit for a king? Well, it can, but only at Burger King Nassau. Not only is the big in-flavor flame-grilled Whopper Junior combo you love available for just $5, but now you can enjoy a crispy chicken junior sandwich topped with bacon plus fries and a drink for only $5 as well. At Burger King Nassau, you get to choose between a chicken BLT or flame-grilled beef in two great combos that include fries and a drink for only $5, including VAT. Value has a new home at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'll deal with a few of your text messages. This is Juan. Since Mr. Lloyd is coming, please put a leash on Anton because you know your boy DeWitt and others will try come with the PLP ambush. I want to be informed on what the government is doing, not hearing vote for Davis, this or that. Signed, a listener. Thanks. Oh, I mean, Jeff says he's perfectly happy to take any questions or calls. Good day. Tell Anton and DeWitt 6 more years of the FNM, maybe 11. 11. Okay. One, since Anton become your buddy, you were weird. People are sick of this chronic calling political fool. what's with you giving this guy so much radio time? People are watching. You hoping he put in a good word for you, the PLPA? Shaking my head. Is you watching? Word? Are you watching? Then with Anton calling, am I the only show he calls? I don't tell the PLP what need to happen, right? Sam, why we all got with the input in? Just call me. We'll do it above board, and I'll full disclosure. All right, it says, one, the Guardian needs to start charging Anton for PLP ads. It says, ask Anton to explain the four downgrades under the last administration with no COVID and no Dorian. All right. It says, one, y'all, there's been a lot of focus on Anton. Is it, am I not speaking? There's nothing I say? Hold weight. One, while I love Anton's analysis of the DRA and their delays, please tell me what was the PLP record on Hurricane Matthew. There was a total disaster in Grand Bahama. There was no accountability of repairs, but like all governments, they sit there and think the GBPA has to solve it. Matthew Recovery Plan non-existence challenged that fact. All right. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon. Are Hello. They there? Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hi, how's it going?
Yeah, Mr. McCartney, mm-hmm. Listen, I feel Anton's passion simply because the country for the last 4 years has lacked real representation. And all the government itself has been doing is making excuses to its citizens, all right, along with their, people that follow them and support them so much that they cannot see anything wrong that the government is doing. Now, with Abaco, the situation with Abaco, you cannot tell me anything that you have really done, even as simple as the dorms, putting the dorms together and getting them in place for people to get in housing and stuff. You could not even accomplish that, to the point to where people can say you have actually accomplished something. So, the thing is, we're so sick and tired of, seeing one class of people, actually two class of people in this country who are getting benefits from the government, that is the very wealthy, who has never been locked down, who gets all of the benefit, and the illegals who, while everybody else is locked down, they're running free, they're coming in and out as they please, and everybody is doing what they want to do, while the real citizens is locked down, all right, and just having to face all of the trauma and all of the issues that is going on in this country. So we have lack of real representation. Now, my question is this. They're saying all of these issues that they had because of the pandemic and Dorian and all of that, right? We don't expect that things is going to turn around to the point to where it's going to get so much better, all right? So they're asking us to give them another opportunity. What if there is more crisis? What if there is more storms and stuff that comes? What are they going to tell us then? Huh? That there's storms and there's crisis and stuff, so we just can't do nothing? Is that what they're going to tell us? We cannot afford to take the chance with this government, so we just need to move on. That's just how I feel about it. Thank you.
Okay. I don't agree with only the illegals and the elite are getting the benefit of the government, but I certainly do believe that difficulty is not an excuse for non-performance. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Nope. All right. No problem. Says Juan, come on. We have to demand more from those in governance. I don't expect debris to be cleared and everything fixed on Abaco overnight, but I expected much more to be accomplished after almost 2 years. It says, Juan Minnis should be giving you that big check for his PR instead of the crew from The Guardian. You do a better job than them. Okay. Him too, if you win whoever. It ain't going to be nothing shady, right, for that type of money. I'll come and declare my interests, and I with y'all now, and I can help y'all out, and it is what it is for that type of money. It says, PLP, PLP, PLP all the way. It says, no matter how much the F&M try to spin things and focus on Anton, they still get in the boot. Bye-bye, Minnis. Says, to answer DeWitt, if you have a dome that you don't need to pay rent for, can that not help you get on your feet? I know it does. Hello. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon.
How's it going?
All is well. I just caught little parts of the show. I think the important thing for me with all it is, all this government expenditure is when the audits come out to really see how they were spending the money. Because it's all fine and good to take people's words
all
of this expenditure. Mm-hmm. But when the audits come out, that's where the rubber gonna meet the road to see, you know, because from every government, if you read most all the audits that came out, you could see all of the mismanagement of monies. Mm-hmm. Whichever government it was for the past 20 years. So,
well, let me
I don't
say,
know if any audits have come out yet, mm-hmm. but any expenditure pertaining to Abaco or any of the ministries or authorities that is responsible for doing work and doing stuff in Abaco.
Right, I do. So the just to let you know that the disaster...
I got you.
The Disaster Reconstruction Agency had its financials... looked at, but not audited. And so they released, and so Pakisha Park Edgecombe...
I'm talking about the constitutional provision that mandated in the Constitution to be carried out.
Well, the...
Auditor General's office.
Yes.
That's what I'm speaking about.
Oh, okay.
I think it's unfortunate that I don't think that that agency of government is properly resourced to do timely audits as required under the Constitution. Because, you know, we've been spending a lot of money on all of these governments... And I'm sure we're getting value for our money.
No, you're absolutely right. We definitely do need to resource the Auditor General's Department better. But what I was going to say to you is that the DRA, Pakisha Park Edgecombe tabled unaudited DRA financials. The Act requires that you table audited financials. All right? That's what the law said. That ain't what Juan said. That's what the law says. She did not. John Michael Clark has promised that the DRA will provide audited financials by September. All right. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello. Good afternoon. Welcome. No? Hello? Hello? Good afternoon. Are you there?
Hey, good afternoon, Mr. McGovern.
How's it going? Hello? Is it me? No one wants to talk to me? Did you just want to say hi? Give me a call back. You got a couple minutes. I got so many texts about Anton. I really don't have time to run on about Anton. Good afternoon. Welcome to the...
Good afternoon, Juan McCartney.
How's it going?
My name is hire you for the PR job. Even when you did the break, even when you did the 2+2 on the budget, man, you did a job like you was on the style on the payroll. I mean, they messed up when they grabbed the other three. Because I don't see them or hear about them. And man, this PR is terrible. And the little that you do today... You like kind of convinced us that something's being done.
So, did I?
How much did you need to support? Because he cut them a $2 million check. You see why Brent Dean left the Guardian in a quickness? That was a big fat check he got. Anyhow, keep up the good work.
Okay. Is it because it's a Friday? Is that what it is? I could have stayed home. It was raining. My wife had on a very short skirt. Who knows what could happen? So let's just go. I was talking about the DRA. Y'all are talking PR and PLP and FNM and Anton. And I feel as though this may have been a wasted effort on my part. That is how some of the responses to this often makes me feel. I'm going to go on faith and believe that there exists a silent majority who actually benefits from me providing this level of research and information. And it helps you to better understand how your government operates, and it's not about me or PR or Anton. And it actually informs you as to what is going on in your country, because that's what I'm trying to do. So I'm just going to believe that there's a majority of people out there who do actually benefit from it and appreciate it. Otherwise, we could just talk garbage all day. This says $4 million for 86 completed domes. That's sad. I think it was $4 million plus another couple million for construction. I'll double check. It says it would be better to give the DRA and budget to idea relief to manage. Well, there are a lot of organizations, you know, and this, I speak not from a place of being uninformed. There were a lot of organizations that wanted to assist in the aftermath of Dorian, but they were barred from doing so. All right, international as well as local. And it wasn't that. This one that says, "One, I see you support the PLP. You let DeWitt speak how he likes. I know you're a PLP. Okay, sure, I'm a PLP. Great. And I'm an FNM. And I'm whatever makes sense in your head. Ah, boy. Anyway, it's a Friday. The sun will go down. I'll have alcohol. I'm going to go. You guys take care out there. Have a great weekend, Bahamas.